Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Looks like Jesse's on the road again, folks. Keep him in your prayers. He and his wife, Anita, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jess, I always say I'm reporting for duty, but dude, I'm usually in Covina, California, doing my thing with, I got a funeral going on. I'm trying to tell people about the meaning and purpose of life. But dude, you take it another step further. You're like a St. Paul on the road most of the time proclaiming Jesus. So I just want to say thank you and ask our listeners to pray for your health because that's not easy to do, brother.
Terry, you know what, but it's a lot easier because we use automobiles and airplanes, yeah. So I don't take much credit.
Yeah.
St. Paul used horses and donkeys and walking on rugged terrain.
Yeah, and Nipro Sarah, he walked to Mexico City 3 times from L.A. Not on a horse, he walked it. Yeah.
And he had already medical problems.
Yeah, so give me a break. You're right. Just today we have a great show. We have a young lady who I always think of apologetics, and I think of men, you know, giving a defense of the faith. But that one Catholic girl on YouTube, that's her name. Her name is Vanessa. And she's going to come on and talk because she's going to be at our women's conference this Saturday from 9 to 4. And I want her to tell us what she's going to share with our women that'll be there. So that's one thing. Another one, Jess, this is incredible. A jailed pro-lifer says that she was kept in solitary confinement for 22 days with the lights on 24/7. I mean, is this in Russia? Is it China? No, it's America. So we're going to talk about that. And I think this other article about Candace Owen, we spoke about her last week about converting to Catholicism, but this is a very insightful article why she converted to the Catholic faith. So, and much, much more. But Jesse, I really want to share this. This is Need to Know file. I hope people can read it. The Michigan bishop delivers forceful homily defending priests ousted from parish by LGBT activists. Yeah, this is the one I told you about where he was in Michigan and he says, hey, you know what? I'm a pastor. You're not bringing this LGBT material into our kids because I'm the pastor and I'm responsible to keep them away from that garbage, okay? And the parish came out and attacked him, beat him up so much spiritually and wanted to oppose him that the priest said, you know what? I don't need this. I'm out of here. So the pastor, or the bishop comes in, Robert Goose. He's the same bishop who called President Biden stupid, okay? Same guy. And it just seems like anybody who does something right gets penalized, and anybody who does things like Father James Martin gets put on Vatican groups the Vatican, the Vatican puts them on committees for the Vatican. It's like, there's something not right. It's scandalous, these things. Another one, Jess, for my good to know file, and that is Japan, its future. Jess, just last year, in 12 months, they lost 700,000 citizens, more than they got. Their population is going down, and what is happening? They're doing the abortion pill is just knocking the demographics of Japan. They keep it going like that. There will not be a Japan because they're contracepting themselves to death. So we can learn from that. Just last thing I have to say, and I'm going to do this with Father Charles Murr on Monday. I just want to give people a taste. There's an article written called "The Scandals Haunting Pope Francis." Here's the scandal. We have 11 years of documentation of things that he has done that's undermining the faith. Now, I don't want to beat up on him, but you know what I want to do? I want to tell him that I love him by telling him the truth. Please knock this off because this is undermining our deposit of faith. And you're the shepherd that's going to be judged just like I am on my duties. And so out of love, we're going to show this and say, please change because he's 87 years old. All right, I'm done with my good to know file. How about you, Jess?
One thing I want to mention is that vandals write explicit pro-abortion slogans on the Catholic Church.
Interesting.
Abortion activists vandalized St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Portland, Oregon this weekend.
Oh, no.
Writing explicit pro-abortion messages on the church's entrance doors and sidewalk. Mm. Parishioners discovered the vandalism on their way to Mass on Sunday. The graffiti messages included explicit messages and the slogan, "My body, my choice."
Wow.
So so much for tolerance, Terry.
Oh yeah, this is not, you know what, this is called the persecution of standing up for life, and we all have to do that. We're going to be talking to about a person who's been in jail for 22 days who stood up for life. So this is the age we're living in. It's an age of chaos. They can't even tell the difference between a boy and a girl. They can't tell the difference between a baby and tissue. I mean, give me a break. Jess, what about your soul food?
Yeah, Terry, and also...
Oh, hit me.
Yeah, I just got one more. Is the Biden administration is silent on forgiving protesters' student loans. The Biden administration reportedly did not respond when asked if it would include pro-Palestine protesters in its student loan forgiveness programs. So on Monday morning, Fox News reported that it had asked the White House the previous day if the administration plans to bar student protesters from eligibility for student loan forgiveness programs. Mm. And Fox News noted that it did not receive a response from the Biden administration.
They're selective. Let's be honest.
Also, several Republican-led states, red states, have announced that they are legally challenging or disregarding the Biden administration's Title IX rule, which now expands sex discrimination to include discrimination based on gender identity.
Yep.
So Joe Biden's extreme gender ideology is a threat to the safety and dignity of women and girls, said Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merrill. She said, "We will not comply." Florida Governor DeSantis said the same thing. "We will not comply with Biden's new Title IX rules as well."
Incredible. Let's get some soul food after that, brother. We need it.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. By the way, just want to mention today's the feast day of St. Pius V. Pray for us.
Amen.
I want to say something about him as well. Today's gospel, John 14, 27. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I'm going away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father and that I do just as the Father has commanded me, the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let me mention a couple of things here, verse by verse, where it says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Now, Jesus Christ has offered us shalom. Shalom in Hebrew, it means reconciliation with God, God the Father. It doesn't mean what you see in a lot of parishes during, "Let's give each other the sign of peace." People raise two fingers in the air and start going like this all the way around. That's not the peace of the Bible. That's the hippie peace.
Amen.
That means that two fingers in the air, that comes from the hippie movement. That means let's make love, not war. Okay, that means the cessation of war.
Yeah.
Jesus is talking about another peace called shalom, which means to be reconciled with God the Father through the blood of Jesus. Also, Jesus Christ says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." You heard. In other words, why shouldn't we be afraid? Why? He answers the question.
Yep.
"I'm going away and I will come back to you." In other words, Jesus Christ is telling us, don't worry. I'm coming back to take you home to the Father's house. Of course, that refers to people that live and die in a state of grace. Jesus also says something here. "I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens." The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, other people make a big to-do about, "See, I told you, the Father is greater than Jesus. That means Jesus isn't God. He's not divine." No, there's two ways to interpret this passage. Number one, when Jesus says, "For the Father is greater than I," in his humanity, remember, Christ has the nature of God and man, 100% God, 100% man, in his second nature that he assumed the nature of man, the Father is greater, obviously, because the Father is divine, he's greater than human nature. But also, even in relation to God's, the Son's divine nature, remember, there's an economic hierarchy within the Holy Trinity. The Father sends the Son doesn't send the Father. And the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit doesn't send the Father or the Son. So there's an, even within the Godhead, even though they're equal in essence, but in the economic hierarchy of the Trinity, the Father sends the Son. So in that, in that understanding, the Father is greater than the Son in the economic hierarchy of the Trinity, just like in the human family, husband, wife, children. They're all ontologically equal before God, but the Father, there's an economic hierarchy. The Father is responsible for the family. So that's all that means. Our Lord says, for the ruler of the world is coming. That's a reference to the devil, and he has no power over me. Very clear, the devil has no power over Jesus.
Well said. When we come back from our quick break, we're going to have Vanessa on talking about her visit to the chapel here for the women's conference. Vanessa Folsberg, she's an apologist, yeah, defender of faith, and she's going to share her story and talk about what she's going to speak at on Saturday, May 4th, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. There's plenty of time for you to register. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We like to say we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd all be billionaires. Vanessa Forsball, she's a young woman. I see. I want to welcome you, young lady. She's an apologist, a defender of the faith. So I want to say, Vanessa, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here. And finally get to chat with you all.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you on Saturday at the Women's Conference on May 4th. My wife will be speaking there. We'll have Dr. Sandoval. And before I ask you some questions about what you're going to share at that conference, give us a little background. I mean, you're young and you're into apologetics. I mean, that's good, but tell us how it happened.
Oh, of course. So for those who do not know me, my name is Vanessa Forsblad. I grew up in Los Angeles, California, and recently made the move out to Las Vegas, Nevada. So I moved from one sin city to another sin city. So it's been interesting trying to navigate my faith and like being an advocate of the Catholic faith and of the truth in the two places that I've lived. But it's truly strengthened my faith. I was born in 1997 and was baptized immediately when I was like right after I was born. And I just went through life practicing my faith, but not really understanding why I believed what I believed. I just kind of did it. I went to a Lutheran school from K through eighth grade. And then I went to a public high school and then a public junior college and then a public university where I got my bachelor's degree in communication studies. So at these points in my life, I never knew that I wanted to be an advocate for the Catholic faith nor talk about that Catholic faith. It wasn't until I started dating someone who was a Baptist and they would attack my faith actively. And I wanted to win this debate. I wanted to win the argument. I didn't know why. I just knew I wanted to win it.
Sure.
So I started studying about the faith and I fell in love with Catholicism. I fell in love with arguing it. I fell in love with talking about it. And then when I was in my bachelor's program at Cal State LA, I had a communications class and they told me to interview someone that I want to be when I grow up. So I reached out to Trent Horn of Catholic Answers. And since then, I fell in love with Catholic apologetics. I've been doing an online YouTube ministry since 2018, where I've taught about the faith on YouTube under the name That One Catholic Girl. And as social media has taken a rise, I've moved on to the various platforms and have defended the faith on there. So I'm now almost 27 years old and still continuing to talk about the
faith. You're just a youngster, Vanessa. But here's what I want to ask for all of us who are coming on Saturday and for those who want to come, what are you going to share with the women at the Women's Conference on May 4th here at the Sacred Heart Chapel?
So I feel I have a bunch to offer from various perspectives. Since growing up in California, I understand how hard it is to want to talk about your faith in such a secular world, but such an a like progressive secular society mm-hmm. where it's not normal in California to have tradition. It's mm-hmm. not normal to believe in God. Mm-hmm. So having gone to a public high school and going to public university and like getting straight A's through that university, regardless mm-hmm. of the fact that I still defended the faith in all my papers, mm-hmm. I kind of want to touch upon that for the youth that are going to be attending the conference, because I understand that we have a lot of daughters coming
yes.
and they are going through their school careers. They're going through their studies. They're in college, whether or they're in middle school or they're in high school, mm-hmm. but they are probably receiving pushback of from what their mothers or fathers say to what their teachers and professors are telling them. So I want to talk about defending the Catholic faith in a secular society and what that can look like, whether it just be talking about it during classes or using the fact that a lot of people use social media nowadays, and understanding that social media and the use of the internet doesn't always have to be a negative. You could actually use it to glorify God. And then in my other talk, I want to talk about what it looks like to be a Catholic woman in this world and growing up with all the pushback. I will be honest, I have engaged in online dating. I use the Bumble, the Tinder, all those things to try to find a good Catholic man.
Uh-huh.
And I have been blessed to have a boyfriend of a year now where good. We actively are going to TLM Mass. We're always going to confession. We're always talking about God and studying the Bible.
Good.
And that didn't come simple. That didn't come easy. I had to go through, sift through a few of the guys around LA and then in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. But I have found a way of understanding about what is my role as a young Catholic woman, and how I also have to recognize that my role as a Catholic woman is not just for me, but it's to play a role model for the other women around me.
Excellent.
That may feel lost in this world and not feel wanted or appreciated.
So what you're saying is women who have daughters, or even not have daughters, but women are going to get some insights for what you've learned from your own experience as a young woman, as a Catholic woman. And let me ask you this. Are they also going to get, because I'm going to give out the cheat sheet, the apologetic cheat sheet that we've published from 30 years ago of all the biblical verses for people to understand, like, why do we go to confession? Where's that in the Bible? John 20, you know, all these different things that people should know as a Catholic. I want to ask you, how do you help young people really want to have a desire to have note for reasons for their faith? That's the question I have, is how do you get people motivated to say, wait a minute, I've been going to church for, 25 years, and I didn't even realize what I was receiving. I get that a lot. How do we convince young people in general, and also people at my age, that what happens at Mass is supernatural?
Oh, of course. So one thing that I get asked often, I also taught confirmation class back in Burbank before I moved over to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And the parents were always asking, how can I get my kid involved? How can I get them to recognize this truth?
Yes.
And one thing that I've learned throughout my years of teaching the youth and engaging with the youth, we want structure, or I'm not necessarily youth anymore, but structure is what people want.
Yes.
They like rules. They like laws. Like, yes. We're inclined to want to know that. And for whatever reason, our world has thought, let us water it down for our children. Let's make it attractive to them. I think the kids today are sick and tired of that. I think the pendulum has swung back mm-hmm. where they're on fire for knowing the truth. They don't want something. They don't want to lie. They don't want to be told that they're pretty just because right. they like want to be felt good. They don't want just the participation trophy. They mm-hmm. want to know the truth. They want that competition. They want that understanding of what the world around them is truly offering, and the truth being God.
Beautiful.
And so I find that the way that we can just tell people about the truth
yes.
is not just like making it fancy, but just give it to them. Say like, hey, the reason why we go to confession is because Jesus Christ said so. So if you want an exact verse, here is a verse. One thing that I was a little bit afraid about when I first started like diving into Catholic apologetics, I'm mm-hmm. about to get my master's in theological studies from Holy Apostles University.
Oh, good.
Yes. But that I never thought that I would be at this place like 5 years ago
sure.
because I always thought I wasn't smart enough. I always thought I'm not my grandma. Like, being Catholic is for the older folks. But what I realized is that you don't have to be a theologian to talk about God.
Right.
You know, in the early church, the people weren't literate. they couldn't read any scriptural text.
Right.
They just went there and listened and tried to make it make sense, but it made sense because God put it in them to be inclined towards him. And so that's the way that we can communicate with people. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know every verse off the top of your head. You just have to have a love for God, a love for neighbor, and a longing for the truth and longing for that structure.
Awesome. Well, you know, Vanessa Fullersburg, she's going to be at our women's conference May 4th. And I would encourage you, if you're listening, if you have a daughter, come to the women's conference. You can still sign up by going to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. You know, Vanessa, one of the questions I have in this final minutes that we have with you is on the Holy Eucharist, because it seems to me that, you know, I'm 67 years old, but when I was 13, I fell in love with the Holy Eucharist. And I want to ask your take on how do we introduce our young people to a relationship with the Holy Eucharist, and we call it the source and summit of the Christian faith as Catholics. How do we get them fired up to realize that that's actually Jesus Christ, what they receive on Sunday?
You know, it's one of those things that is just so simple to understand, that when Jesus Christ tells us that this is my body, mm-hmm. this is my blood, mm-hmm. he wasn't lying. That's why the people turned away from him. When you read John 6,
that's right.
66,
yes.
It's so funny. It's that verse. It's when some of his disciples turned away. That means that they even understood that this was a hard saying. This is something hard to understand. Mm-hmm. And so I think one way that we could approach this topic about the Eucharist is explaining that, yeah, this is not going to be simple for our human bodies to comprehend, but that's why it's divine. That's why it's a mystery. That is why Jesus Christ is allowing for us to know him, that he's coming down, he's humbling himself enough to come to know us as man, but also to give us his body and his blood so that we can receive him within us. So I think a way of explaining the truth of the Eucharist more and more is hitting home that you need to receive the Eucharist, hitting home that you cannot take the Eucharist in a state of sin. You have to take it in a state of grace. When we act like, oh, you could just come on Sunday and receive the Eucharist in any state that you are, we're taken away from the validity of the Eucharist in our own mind.
I get it.
And that we should understand that we need to receive God and a state of grace.
And you know, Vanessa, one thing I'll add is I have found with young people, taking them into the church before the Blessed Sacrament, you know, showing them who Jesus is, I believe the grace of the Blessed Sacrament also touches young people. I've noticed over the last 25 years, a renewal of Franciscans who are doing this, where they're doing Eucharistic adoration at these youth rallies. And they're like, wow, we love it. And when I was young, Jesse was young, we were young at one time, that wasn't happening. There was a de-Eucharization going on that, you know, we just saw, oh, whatever, you know, let's don't burden anybody. Let's just be glad they're there. So the final question I have is, and we only have 2 minutes left, is when you're talking about being a young woman, can you also share a little bit of what you're going to say on Saturday about how to be really a on-fire young Catholic woman who wants to introduce people to the person of Christ?
Oh, of course. And something that I touch upon a lot when I'm talking about being a young Catholic woman is drawing on those before us.
Yeah.
When we hear about the stories of the saints, it's usually after they have already passed and their stories are being written. And we often forget that they also lived lives where they received pressure from the outside things, from their secular world during that time. I always tell people, there's nothing new under the sun. So yes, we may have social media. Yes, we may have like an easier access to things that we shouldn't have easier accesses to. But the thing is we can rely on the role models before us and look to them how even despite, you know, maybe being like almost killed or being persecuted by the world around them, they still remained with God. So I love to draw upon those before us and talk about how beautiful a life with God is, and how we need to honor him. And that's one thing that he tells us, love the Lord your God. That's one of the Ten Commandments, one of the most important commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like? It looks like putting God before any of our wants, putting God before the wants of the world, putting God first. And what does that look like specifically for a Catholic woman who may be told you're being too prude or you're being too traditional, do this, do that. What does it look like for them?
Got it. Vanessa Fullersburg, she's going to be at our women's conference the 4th of May. You can still sign up by going to vmpr.org or calling 877 877- 1-800-526-2151. Vanessa, I can't wait to meet you on Saturday. My wife will be there. Dr. Sandoval, it's going to be a great day to introduce people to the person of Christ. Every day is a great day for doing that. Thanks again for taking your time to share this with the Terry and Jesse Show. God love you. Bye-bye now, Vanessa. When we come back, we're going to talk to some pro-life stuff. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I've been promoting the women's conference. Someone just asked me, what about the men's conference? Well, I'm going to do a commercial right now for that. I'll tell you right now. Jess Romero and his brother Johnny, we had him here last year for it. It was a home run. The guys are on fire. And this is going to be the 15th of June. Jess, I'll put you on the spot, brother. You and your brother, I'm talking maybe 30 years ago. I remember this was like in the early days when your hair wasn't gray and Johnny's was black. And I had you guys going out to parishes together, and I called you the Sons of Thunder. And what are you guys going to do on the 15th for the men's conference, brother?
Well, Terry, nothing's changed. We're just older, but we're...
you think, look at us.
Yeah, that zeal hasn't left
me. No.
Until my heart stops.
Exactly.
And then that'll... Terry, we're going to talk about very basic things. Mm-hmm. Patriarchy. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? How does it look like?
Yeah.
Spiritual patriarchy, the role of the father, the role of the husband as leader of the house. What does that look like? What does it mean to protect your family physically, spiritually?
Yeah.
What does that look like? What does it mean? What does it mean to provide for your family spiritually, physically? What that look like? What's the role of the woman? What's the role of the wife according to God's word? This is all. Everything me and Johnny are going to talk about is based on the word of God, not on somebody's opinion.
Right.
We're also going to talk about the problems in America. The problems in America that we have right now is Marxism and anarchy, mm-hmm. and the destruction of patriarchy by the Marxist left.
Yep.
And so we're going to address the problems that are national. But again, the solutions are always a principle of subsidiarity.
Yes.
It starts one family at a time. It starts one house, domestic church at a time. We've got to go back. And we've got to shore up our families, our households, our marriages with some of the principles that me and Johnny are going to lay out at the men's conference. And the three principles that we're going to really hearken on this, every Catholic man needs order in their life. Order, order, order. Number two, every Catholic man needs fraternity. What that means, you need to bond, you need to have a network of other Catholic men that can... That you're accountable to, that you could, you know, that you can trust, that are going to give you sound advice. And then number three, we're going to talk about also the importance of order, of fraternity and ritual. The Catholic man, you know, you get up at a certain time of the day, you do your prayers, or yes. You go to mass.
Discipline.
You read your Bible at a certain time of the day. Yeah. You work out a certain time of the day. You go to bed. You do your prayers throughout the day. The man needs discipline, yep. So we're going to be talking about that
awesome. As well. Wonderful. Jess, you got an article. I'm going to shift gears. Folks, that's June 15th, all day here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. You can sign up by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Let's talk about a jailed pro-lifer. She says she was kept in solitary confinement for 22 days with the lights on. I mean, Jess, that doesn't sound... like a jail. I mean, you worked the jails.
Yeah, they didn't allow us to do that in the county jail when I worked in Los Angeles.
For guys that committed serious crimes.
You got to turn off the lights and you got to let these guys go to sleep. That's according to federal and state law. I don't know what's happening under the Biden administration.
Yeah.
Where he kept the lights on these prisoners, these pro-lifers, for 22 days straight.
Yeah, that's crazy.
24 hours a day. He did that on purpose, Terry. This is the so there's
tactic.
This
is a tactic.
This is an interview with Heather Idoni, defendant in the Washington D.C.
Yeah.
FACE Act trials. In other words, people that are praying in front of abortion clinics.
Right.
And she said that she received solitary confinement for sharing food with fellow prisoners.
Can you imagine
that? What a crime! Sharing your food with fellow prisoners. And so this fellow pro-advocate, Cal Zastro, who joined this prisoner, Adoni, this this grandma, in another traditional pro-life rescue in Tennessee. They were convicted in Nashville of violating these this FACE Act. These are these liberal pro-abortion laws. And in an interview, she told LifeSite News that when Edoni was brought into the courtroom for a pretrial hearing in Detroit for yet another FACE Act trial violation, the U.S. Marshal, get this, had this middle-aged woman shackled at the wrists, waist, and feet as if she were a dangerous criminal.
Give me a break.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, see, I got to interrupt this, brother, because you've worked the jails, dude. You've seen like big, bad guys that have committed serious crime come in and, oh, yes, they've also had shackles on them, but some of them don't even have that on and they cause problems and they got this little middle-aged woman, they got her treated like she's some thug. And it's sad to have to say that in our court system.
Well, this is all because of Joe Biden.
Yep.
This is because he's a Judas. He's an apostate.
Yep.
And this is a man that's, I have never seen a more acute persecution against Catholics and more Catholic churches being vandalized and attacked under any president.
No. Yeah.
More than Joe Biden.
Well, Jesse, there's a...
Now, this is the second Catholic president.
Yeah.
That's the point. Go ahead.
It seems to me, Jesse, that Catholics, persecuting Catholics, are always worse than non-Catholics. I've seen that over and over. A bad Catholic will persecute his church more than a non-Catholic. That's been my experience.
Yeah. Well, look at my state, Katie Hobbs, your state, Gavin Newsom, Catholics.
Exactly.
And they're persecuting the Catholic population through their legislation, through their executive orders. And we're seeing the same thing here in Washington, D.C., with these grandmothers that are being treated like they're Mexican mafia or Hell's Angels or the Crips.
I know. Is this microphone on? Are we really talking about this in America? Yes, we are. Continue, Jesse.
Yeah, it says this one prisoner, this lady, has never been arrested before. She gets arrested, you know, in front of an abortion
big
clinic.
Big track record, huh?
Yeah, big track record, right. So her name is Edoni. She faces over 50 years of incarceration in federal prison and over $1 million in fines for taking part in several peaceful pro-life rescues in Washington, D.C., Michigan, and Tennessee. And should Edoni, the sweet little grandmother, she received maximum penalties in these cases in which previous counts can be compounded to heighten subsequent sentences, she will have been sentenced to the longest prison term in the history of U.S. civil disobedience movement for human rights.
That speaks volumes, Jess.
Edoni has continued to witness to her faith during her imprisonment and mistreatment.
Yes.
And she told LifeSite News by phone in the jail that she knows that God is glorified.
Hang on a second, Jess. Your voice is coming out. Let me just say what you said because we couldn't hear what you said. She had this interview from jail, a LifeSite News. And here's an attitude of gratitude. She says, God is going to be glorified, and that during her imprisonment, she has never not felt his presence. That says a lot, brother. Let me see if we say something now, Jess. We got you back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
She
now.
Says, Terry, that
this is
Edoni says that she prayed for 2 years for everyone she would meet in prison.
Wow.
She says she's encountered prisoners involved in Satanism, witchcraft. And this Edoni said that she believes God is able to deliver me.
God, what? Yes, sir.
Her time behind bars has not been without reward. Edoni shared the story of a man she met while being transferred between facilities, and who told her that he had taken his girlfriend to get an abortion in Los Angeles, and the two were dissuaded from killing their child when they encountered some pro-life sidewalk counselors outside the clinic.
Beautiful.
And the man told Edoni that thanks to heroic women like her, his baby was going to be due in 2 months.
Wow.
And Edoni said that he was all smiles when leaving the transportation vehicle.
Oh my, wow. Does that confirm her conviction? Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful, Jesse. Continue, because we hear you.
Terry, so there's 9 pro-lifers that have been arrested,
since
rescuers, under the Biden administration.
Yep.
They're facing more than 10 years in prison.
Unbelievable.
And all I can tell you, Terry, This is what a hero looks like. If you want to look what, if you want to see what a hero looks like, these 9 pro-life rescuers that are facing a decade in jail under the Biden mafia, under the Biden crime family, this is what a hero looks like. And the J6 prisoners, Terry,
yes,
people peaceably assembling on January 6th in the Capitol.
Yes.
That's what heroism looks like. That's what conviction looks like. And these people, you know what keeps them going is their faith in Jesus Christ and the promises of Jesus Christ.
Wow. And Jesse, what blows me away is I have a friend who was held up by gunpoint and robbed, okay? The guy went to jail for 13 months. And they sent him a notice saying, you know the guy that put a gun to your head and said, give me your money? Well, he's back out on the streets of Los Angeles. But in this case, what happens? We're going to put him in jail for, what, up to 10 years? There's no justice here, Jesse. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, Terry, this, it says here, Edoni's lawyer, Robert Dunn, told LifeSite News that although the jail may be entitled to its own rules, they should conform to international standards set forth in the Mandela rules. In other words, Terry, they're treating these
people
in a very degrading, in a very inhumane way.
And select.
These people are being punished like if they're violent criminals, and placing a prisoner in a dark or a constantly lit cell, that violates what's called the international Nelson Mandela rules, and this should not be happening in the United States of America.
Absolutely, and again, it's very, very selective. Depending on what crime you commit, the penalty is based on who's running the courthouse. That's not the way our system was set up. All right, Jesse, when we come back from the break, Candace Owens, we talked about her conversion to the Catholic faith, but we're going to have an article about why would Candace Owens convert to Catholicism? This is a very articulate woman. If you've ever heard her speak, you're like, man, this woman can say it as simple and quickly. She's a very sharp mind. And we want to talk about what brought her into the Catholic faith, because I think it's important to understand that. And I believe more souls are going to be coming in through this. This is the way the church has always been able to convert people, is through teaching the truths of the gospel and the perennial teachings of the church. We call it the deposit of faith. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Indeed, Jesse's on the road. We got this article from Crisis Magazine from Kennedy Hall, very thoughtful man. He said earlier this week, Candace Owens announced that she had converted to Catholicism, posting about her conversion on social media. And as she wrote this, and I like the way she said it, I made a decision to go home. I like that, home. There, of course, is so much more that went into this decision and that I plan to share in the future. But for now, praise be God for his gentle but relentless guiding of my heart towards the truth. Jess, let's pick up on what Kennedy has to say about this.
Yeah, let's go right to where it says, why is the third paragraph down? Why is this the case?
Yeah.
Why would someone like Candace Owens convert to Catholicism in such a public way? Of course, I do not know Owens, and I will not pretend here to psychologize or offer any insight into her personal reasons. However, I believe her religious trajectory, something she has been public about, offers some insight into why someone like her, or anyone for that matter, would convert to the Church of Rome despite the myriad problems in the church today.
Right.
Owens is a highly intelligent person who demonstrates a keen moral sense. She also seems to be somewhat of an absolutist about her beliefs. She's never been one to present her opinions in a squishy or relativistic manner. In addition, she has demonstrated a fighting spirit and a fearlessness when tackling topics that others find radioactive. She was an early critic of the COVID regime, which I found very refreshing, and she went to war with the COVIDians long before it was fashionable to do so. When the Black Lives Matter mania gripped the world during the 2020 Summer of Love, she had no issue warring with race hustlers and Marxists despite her own ethnicity, which sparked even more outrage at her.
That's true.
She took a stand against the COVID jab, even though her former colleague, Ben Shapiro, had essentially called anyone who wasn't jabbed a dope. She took her anti-Big Pharma crusade even further and questioned the proliferation of vaccines as such. When the Israel-Palestine conflict erupted last October, she went against a predominant conservative narrative and would not bend the knee to the Israel lobby, yet again in defiance of the intensifying position of her colleagues at the Daily Wire. Not only did she take a stand against the pro-Israel mania, something seen as heretical by most of the American right, she engaged various rabbis and Jewish spokesmen in the public forum.
That's right.
Now, it should be noted just how difficult it would be to persist with all these positions, constantly engaged in conflict with her peers and strong cultural forces. As tough as Owens may be, she's still human. And I imagine that, like all good mothers, she has a tender heart. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're constantly engaged in this type of information warfare with millions of eyes judging your every move, there's no way to avoid feeling the pressure substantially. Yet, through all her commenting and opining, she remained strong and did not lose her head. We have seen her go off the deep end despite what her... We had never seen her go off the deep end, despite what her critics say, and her reasoning skills and rhetoric have only sharpened and become more surgical as time has passed. She did all of this, mind you, without the help of sanctifying grace,
great point,
which is a miracle in and of itself.
That's a very important point, Jesse.
Sheesh.
Yep.
It says, Owens has demonstrated that she's a fighter, and there's no earthly force and no amount of money that will coerce her into keeping the truth as she understands it, captive behind a shield of timidity. But like all fighters, I imagine she's been wounded and has wrestled with the effects of Republic discourse during those moments of quiet interior reflection that we all have throughout the day. This is only natural. And someone with such an acute sense of morality and conscience will be her own harshest critic. Although my own platform of influence is minuscule compared to hers, I can perhaps relate in a small way, given that I too have a habit of swimming upstream against the current and have continually demonstrated an anaphylactic reaction to the humdrum ecclesial and political positions that are acceptable in the mainstream. By converting to Catholicism, Owens has demonstrated that her quest for truth was not merely a quest for fame or influence. Surely she could have joined a megachurch congregation with some celebrity pastor or simply left her options open as a free agent. But she did not take that route, which would have been inconsistent with her character. No, she did what she always does. She followed the clues where they led and was not satisfied until she found the full unadulterated truth of the matter. The gladiatrix joined the church militant and will continue her fight against the roaring lions from her heart of the Roman Empire. She found the only true home where her soul could rest and recharge in a world that seems to outdo itself in insanity each passing day. Now, if I could offer some unsolicited advice to Candace, although I'm sure her erudite husband will have said similar things, I would encourage her not to feel the pressure to be anyone's theologian. Owens is highly intelligent. I'm sure she will grasp the profundity of Catholic teaching as well as anyone. I imagine she's been studying voraciously for years at this point, but there is a pressure that new Catholics, especially celebrity Catholics, feel to shout from the rooftop about their new faith. But the world of Catholic discourse is as cutthroat and merciless as any commentariat community, and there will be no shortage of opportunists who want to co-opt her convert zeal into a publicity stunt. Of course, there's nothing wrong with her sharing her journey on podcasts and at conferences, as this will inspire many, but it is still advisable to be cautious about which characters you trust. In the end, Candace Owens' conversion is about Candace Owens' journey as a pilgrim during this earthly sojourn, and she needs to prove nothing to anybody but God. Political pundits will not be her judge when she dies, and neither will Catholic Theologasters.
Yeah.
Theologasters.
I know, that's fun.
Yeah. So we should all rejoice that Christ left the 99 and found the one sheep who needed saving. And we should pray that God strengthens Candace as the wolves surround her and as she embarks on this new chapter in her life. Well said.
Yeah, it is well said. And Jesse, you know, I think so many people are coming in who are big names to the Catholic faith in spite of the scandal. And I always say this. I say, when you are intellectually honest, you know, Henry Newman said, you cease to be Protestant. If you really look at the early church fathers, so many people who have looked into the Catholic Church, I always encourage people. I say, wait a minute, don't trust me. Do your own homework. Look at the early church and ask yourself, is it Protestant or is it Catholic? And every time, it was Catholic. They believed in the real presence. They believed in Our Lady. And this is something that I think we don't do enough of, and that is share the gospel and show the early church and how it operated, how its growth went so fast, and why were they so convicted to the person of Jesus Christ. And as Bishop Strickland always says, we have to become first century Christians in the 21st century.
Yeah, Perry, there's two connections to getting to heaven. Because heaven is a journey to the Father's house, as the prodigal son discovered. And as the catechism of the Catholic Church, it calls heaven Fatherland. Doesn't call it Disneyland. Doesn't call it Fantasyland.
That's funny.
The catechism calls heaven Fatherland.
Yeah.
So there's two ways, I mean, there's two important points that you need to get to Fatherland. Number one, you must encounter and surrender to the person of Jesus Christ, who's the Son of the Father, okay? That's critical.
Yep.
Accepting by faith, intellectual, the will has to also be oriented to follow the Son of God as the way, the truth, and the life. Then the second bridge that you have to cross, because there's many people that surrender themselves to the Son intellectually and in their will by faith. And that's why you have 47,000 Christian denominations in the world, or 40,000 flavors of ice cream.
Yep.
The second encounter, the second point that you have to cross, is you have to discover the Bride of Christ. You have to discover that church founded by the Son of God, which is only the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That takes, again, intellectual rigor. It takes study. It takes to rolling up your sleeve and investigating the claims of other churches and looking at the claims of history. And so Candace Owens has gone from embracing, as what I would call, a Jesus-loving Protestant, has embraced intellectually and in her heart the Son of God. Now there was the second step that she had to embrace and connect that dot. She discovered that the Son of God established and founded and started a church in 33 AD. And I want to say welcome home to my sister in Christ, because you have entered now into the fullness of the faith. Roll up your sleeves and fight along with us.
Wow. I love it, Jesse. Well said. Jesse, just a quick note. I'm putting you on the spot, but you're on the road. Where are you going to be speaking tonight? I know it's hard to remember everywhere you're.
No, I'm not. I'm not speaking for the next two nights. I'm on my way back home, so I'm spending two nights here at my son's house in Kansas.
Oh, okay. My thought. I know. Good.
I'll be back.
Well deserved time. Good. Give my best to your sons.
Yeah.
All right, Jess. And you know, one last thought. Your men's conference is coming up June 15th. Your brother Jesse and you are going to be there. I'll be there just to be support, but I want to encourage moms right now listening. Sign your husband up to this men's conference, because you want all the things that Jesse talked about in your man, being a leader, leading the flock, leading the kids, leading you into a greater relationship with Jesus Christ as a priest, prophet, and king. All that as a man. So go to vmpr.org. You can register online. If you don't want to do it online, just call us at 877-526-2151. And then, of course, with Vanessa earlier in the show, that conference is coming up this Saturday, May 4th. You can still register for that. Dr. Sandoval, he's a home run hitter. My wife will be there. Vanessa will be there. I'm hoping to be there also. Love to see you there. Go to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. The music, Jess. What state should we be living in, brother?
State of sanctifying grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Become holy or die trying. Life is short. Eternity is forever.
Amen. I love that line. And also, don't forget Our Lady of Fatima. Fatima is a great reaffirmation of the gospel. Our Lady said, souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. Every action is like a blank check. I mentioned that to you because everything we do, if we offer it in union with Jesus Christ to help redeem the world, we can participate in the great salvific work of salvation. Keep that in mind when you have a son or daughter that left the church. I want to thank everybody who supports us. If you want to become a monthly donor, go to vmpr.org. It helps us pay our monthly bills. And I want to thank you for supporting us with the Bishop Strickland Hour. That's been a joy to do. May God richly bless you and your family. God bless you.